Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So I thought to say something about practicing with desire. Often people's first reactions when you start talking about this is, what's the problem with desire? And you could say there isn't any problem with desire. Yeah. Our deepest desires is what can take us towards the spiritual practice. So the nibbana is what we really want. We just don't, or what can really satisfy us. What can really satisfy this desire that we have, that we try so hard to satisfy in other ways. You know, we get frustrated and can't get no satisfaction. I remember when I was first starting off in practice, I went on a retreat and I'd heard a lot about this, and I went back home and then I'll try this out. As the teacher says that these sense pleasures are addictive. Okay, so I'll try this one out. I'll watch and see, is this really right or not? So and I said, well, yes, okay, there's a few things I've noticed in my life that were definitely addictive, like smoking, you know, that definitely. The craving so clear. So I'd given up smoking by then, but I was thinking, oh, yes, well, what about chocolate? Yes, I definitely noticed that, you know, if I eat chocolate, then there can be a desire for more. It become a habit. So keep nipping around to the 7-Eleven in the middle of the night for a Mars bar. This is definitely not as bad as the cigarettes, but pretty close, really. Quite subtle, but in a way quite close. This is already good. I was already beginning to watch and to see what was happening in my mind a bit more clearly, wasn't I? I didn't need a really strong example of addiction to smoking. So I notice a more subtle one is actually the same, operating in the same way. So okay, well, so chocolate, well, that goes down as a, that's definitely, that is another pleasure that's definitely addictive. So then I went on to investigate others, and guess what I found out? As I went on, realizing that all pleasures actually were operating in the same way. So I think, well, does this mean I can't have any pleasure? I've got to deny myself everything. Well, no. Spiritual life isn't about denying somebody something. But hopefully, if it's going well, then we won't want to chase the course of sense pleasures that cause us so much desire and drag us out of the present moment so strongly. But in terms of the others, then, what we can do is we can gradually introduce convention into our lives, which is what I started to do, not quite knowing what I was doing. So in Mark's practice circles, what we'll find, or in Asian culture, refined Asian culture, there's a lot of convention around things. But you're not acting so much on desire, you're acting through convention, what seems right or proper within the group that you're in. So this is a way in which a group very much supports each other, forming these kinds of conventions in a group. So you have the Buddhist group has a party and there's no alcohol, for example. It's a kind of a boundary set by the five precepts. But there can be all kinds of convention that can be introduced. The monastic thing is the example of a very long advanced history of the application of convention in order to so that there can be an element of convention wherever we need it to restrain desire, to frustrate our desires, to keep us to what is reasonable or what's needed, so that we keep to the requisites, we don't get lost in greed and wanting more, this or that. For this reason we can't just directly, we can't handle money, that helps an awful lot. As a layperson, I found myself putting boundaries on things just to help, put a form around something, even though you're thinking to myself, this I really need to get a bit of a make a convention around this one, and this is kind of getting carried away with this. I'll only do this every day, every other day or something, like tea. Self addicted to tea, and yet it was a very useful thing in certain circumstances, going to a difficult meeting or something like that. If I drank too much of it, I didn't sleep very well, and I started to get kind of anxious and stressed, and so I put a form around tea. I can drink tea in these circumstances, and I try not to drink tea in those circumstances, because this is what I've found to be skillful in the past, or with food, or with all kinds of other things. Make a resolution of some kind. You can do this with the standards of the five precepts. You make a resolution to keep a certain standard, and then if we lapse from that, then when we retake the five precepts, which incidentally is a very good use of, you see a monk, you think, oh yes, well maybe I should redetermine the five precepts while I've got one here. I've got to do it a formal way. It can be a very nice thing to do. But we can do it with ourselves. Make another determination to keep to a certain guideline on something. Not too strict, not too tight, not too loose. But it also, these things need a purpose. We need to see the purpose. So we need to see how this helps us in our life or our practice, which if we're good practitioners, our practice is our life. Do we understand why we're restraining ourselves in this way, or maybe the word restraint's not so good. Composure is keeping composure, or a sense of perspective on things. Notice how the signs which we're losing perspective on something, that we get selfish about it, say. We take more than our share of something, or we try to get something from somebody through deceit, or if we're not quite honest about something. These are very clear signs that we're starting to lose it, and that maybe we need to put a little form around it. Okay, well, I'm not going to resort to trickery to get what I want, get this thing. I resolve not to do that. All this kind of thing. And then it's kind of inwardly relating to our desires rather than we try to step back to get perspective on them. This is what meditation does for us with all the states of our mind. It enables us to take a little step back and just sort of take a little look deeper and get beneath the surface. So often we end up resorting to one source of pleasure because we're blocked on another one. So we're not getting what we want in one way, then we'll go for something else. Give up drinking and start eating too much. going on to the chocolate, which is not, it's not a bad thing if a less harmful thing substitutes for a more harmful one. This is all right. I've done a lot of this. I was trying to wean myself off of things over the years. Still doing it. I get more refined. I put more refined pleasure. But, you know, the meditation and the sense of light and space, say, you know, and I took up photography and getting to a sense of light and space, taking a kind of abstract, more abstract view of things, softening the eye to get this kind of abstract view of something, and then not so much taking the object but taking the light or the space around it. Different kind of photographs, and some of them came out very nicely, much to my surprise. So these abstract things taking me from a delight in the coarser delight in beautiful things to a more refined pleasure in space and light. Subtle feeling about it, but no less pleasant, and more pleasant, more open. You know, taste for things that are more peaceful, also things that are more open. The mind is more open, heart open, rather than grasping around things. Previously recognised a certain pleasure in holding on. But this pleasure was always tainted with anxiety, fear of loss. So opposite to the pleasure of opening, letting go. So since pleasure will tend to pattern will be feeling, craving, clinging. Happens very quickly. Feeling, craving, clinging. Pleasant feeling, craving, clinging. So the feeling is almost is craving and clinging. And yet there's always anxiety along with it. So lack of freedom. Buddha will talk about sense desires as a kind of slavery. We get hooked and then we're running around trying to at the call of our desires, end up a slave to them. It's very interesting what Ajahn Chah said about yoga. Somebody asked him about yoga and said, well, what do you think of this? And he said, well, if you do this, you know, then you can be making a burden for yourself. You have to do all that every day just to make yourself feel good. And you're just creating a burden for yourself. And yet we have to move away from this in a skillful way, that we have to find something else, some other source of pleasure and happiness. Like climbing a ladder, you know, when you're climbing a ladder and you need to take the rung above before you let go, before you take your foot off the rung underneath. Otherwise you risk falling, slipping. Yeah, same in spiritual practice, you know, you take a hold of the rung above. It's only when you've got a hold of the rung above, the more refined pleasure, that then you take your foot off the one below. And that's the way you're gradually climbing up. Oh, that's quite a good analogy. I never thought of that one before. Anyway, so that's all for those things for your reflection.